This is the Sexual Inclusion Network. With your host, Christiane Bella. Sin is in.
Hello, everyone. I am Christiane Bella, and you are listening to the Sexual Inclusion Network. We are so excited to be here with you this evening. We have a very special guest. She is a holistic coach, wellness warrior, and all-around goddess of good vibes, Bryn Olson. I'll be bringing her on shortly to join us. In the meantime, let's catch up. So for those of you who are just tuning in and this is your first time with us here, this is a call-in show, old-school style radio show, circa Dr. Drew and Dr. Ruth, where you can call in with your questions, stories that you want to share, and we would love to hear from you. You can reach us here at 319-527-6205. That's 319-527-6205. I am dealing with all kinds of technical difficulties trying to figure out how to go live on all the things. I'm just getting used to using my Instagram. I actually hired a social media mastermind to help assist me, and I guess I'm going to have to get a tutorial from him, because for the life of me, I cannot figure out how to get it to work. So anyways, you're listening wherever you are, and I am grateful for that. So thank you for being here with us tonight. We have our guest is ready to join us, so let me bring her on. This is Bryn Olson. Here we go.
Hello.
Hi, Bryn. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sounds great.
Wonderful. All right. So I had the pleasure of meeting you. Your partner actually found me on Facebook, Wonders of Social Media Amazingness, and that's how you and I got to meet, and you yourself do some coaching work. Tell me a little bit about your business.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, yes, I'm an intuitive, holistic health and wellness coach, entrepreneur, and also a food scientist. So I've got lots of businesses. My husband and I also own a construction business. So definitely a passion for entrepreneurship. But then really where my heart lies is I just have a heart for humanity. And I've always just wanted to be there for people, whether mentoring, coaching, consulting. And so over the past couple of years, I've been working more around the coaching realm and got certified through Radiant Coaching Academy. Just last year, I went to the training. So it's been a year since training. I'm now certified, and now I'm trying to figure out really what I love to do even in that realm. So it's just another tool in my toolbox. I also do energy work and just all kinds of holistic tools, and it's just part of the journey, and I absolutely love it.
That is amazing. And so your business is, it's Alternate Native. Am I saying that right?
So it's Alternative. So a little play on words of alternative.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's basically a holistic health and wellness marketplace. So that was created based out of our passion to bring holistic options to the community. And my husband and I also found that there are amazing wellness natives, we call them, that are in this area that offer alternative approaches to your healing journey. And that's how we found you. So we really built this platform that's about offering not only products, but information, education, and connections to other wellness practitioners, coaches, consultants in the area just to support someone's healing journey. So, it started last year about, I think, May was when we finally launched the business at the Franklin Farmers Market. And here we are today getting ready to expand past products and really start to launch the Wellness Natives platform, where we offer coaching, consulting, connections to the practitioners, as well as our blog learning center. So we're really excited to get that next phase of the business launched.
That is really exciting. I love that. And it's so important to follow your passion. And it's a great way to just really show up and be of service, and doing what you love and helping others. So talk to me a little bit, because I also, my husband and I cross over. We don't actually share a business, but we have a lot of overlapping business stuff that we do together. How do you guys navigate the world of relationship, romance, and this mixing business with pleasure, knowing when to like draw those lines when it's, you know, it's time to kind of turn it off and now we're in couple mode and we're not in work mode anymore? Tell me a little bit about your journey and finding that balance.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a beautiful journey for us, but it doesn't come without growing pains. And so communication has been key. And there's absolutely times when we get off center and we lose that balanced focus, and all of a sudden we're both doing versus being, and then we're snapping at each other. And so it really comes down to communication when it comes down to it, and reminding each other that why we started this in the first place, you know, why we decided to launch this business and support others, and that it was a passion of ours, not a to-do. So anytime it starts to get to that level of where it's another to-do on our list and we get really stressed, we kind of have to do a self-check and call each other out on our stuff, and then reset and reprioritize, because we have so many creative endeavors and the list is a lot for two people. And we even have a supportive team coming in, but trying to start a new business, grow a current business, and then I'm trying to launch my own business and leave my corporate role. It's like making sure that we stay aligned with what's truly in our heart in the present moment, not in the future and not others' expectations. So it can be a rough ride sometimes, but again, communication has been our savior.
Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned, you know, I call it future tripping. Like, are you future tripping? Because when we're thinking about, well, where is this going, you know, and we start spinning scenarios of imaginary futures, most of the time would never even happen. I think, at least for me, like, I lose sight of why this small step now that I'm in the present moment of doing matters. I get like worried I won't get to that future fast enough, or I won't be as equipped as I need to be in that future. And the contrary is actually, like, the more I let go of thinking about the future, the more prepared I am when it shows up, when it is the now. So that's such a good lesson to not get stuck in the future tripping. So communication, is that part of what you walk people through when we talk about holistic living? Do you feel like it's a conversation you first have to have with yourself and with your body? And what does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of the whole realm of coaching, is like, I just love to have conversations with people. And then it's what conversations are we having with ourselves, and what is our mind telling us? And, you know, I do a lot of work around the ascension process and a lot of shadow work, which is pretty heavy right now. And so what we're seeing is, you know, we run these programs in our mind, and it's based on experiences, and we have filters, and all of our experiences are valid, and our interpretation of them, it's just whether they're, if we take the time to look at those and decide if they're still serving us, are we holding judgment, or are we holding pain or anger from something from our childhood? And then now is that being projected onto others? And so when it starts to surface, which, you know, it happens with my husband and I, that's part of the journey. When we get off center, we start to be triggered by each other, but really that's part of our healing journey. So when we do trigger each other, we have become very aware, and we see it for what it is, and that it's just our soul telling us that there's something still deep in, subconsciously or consciously, that is not serving us anymore. And so then we can calmly step away and right. take our time to digest it. And so I go through the mirror process or my pause method. I have a method that kind of walks through those, your emotions, the thought mm-hmm. process, and then dives into, okay, what is this telling me? And it can be really difficult with someone very close to you. What I've found is the closer I am, like my husband, is an exact mirror of me. So it's like the closer they are to me, the more of a mirror. So when I realized that, I also realized, well, that means if I feel abandonment, then maybe he feels abandonment. And so then I could see it with a lens of compassion and then say, hey, you know, this is how I'm feeling. I'm not sure what it's tied to. I don't know where it's coming from, but it wants my attention. And we talk about our fears. We talk about past relationships where we were abandoned, where we were rejected, where we were betrayed. We talked about times in our relationship where maybe we felt abandoned or betrayed it's been very eye-opening to have those conversations and get intimate. But ultimately, like you said, it's the conversation that's happening within us and our experience, especially with our significant others, is showing us what's going on and that maybe it's time to let go and heal if we're ready.
It's definitely coming up for a lot of people, I think, right now, because we've had no choice. You know, I mean, there's only so much Netflix you could watch. Sooner or later, you got to look at yourself. You have all this time on your hands. You're likely not working right now. You're home more with your spouse because you're limited to what you can go out and do. And so, I know my business has been peaking in the midst of all of what's going on, because a lot of people are like, oh my God, who am I? And who is this person I've been living with? And why do I want to kill them right now? And trying to, you know, like you said, go back and realize, like, that's not, yes, that feeling, it's real, it's your feeling, but what is underneath that? What's really going on there? What is your part in things? What story are you still cycling, and can you? And I love what you said about, like, being willing to own your fears. I mean, I think that is the most powerful thing we can do when we talk about being intimate with someone, is owning the thing that we're afraid of. And abandonment is usually a big trigger. You know, if you pull back the layers of whatever it is you're upset with involving your partner, I'd say like 8 out of 10 times it has something to do with this fear of abandonment.
And that was our biggest one.
Yeah, to have that conversation about, you know, what is really happening? What am I bringing to this? And what is it that I can ask for? What can we create together that feels nurturing and feels comfortable to start to move forward? I often go back to this wonderful book I read when I first got into like New Age, Own Your Mind power stuff, was The Untethered Soul. And he talks about, you know, like, if you got hit by a yellow car, every time you saw a yellow car, you would like freak out. You could try that, or you could kind of break it down and decide that it's not that the yellow car's fault. And, you know, so I said about, you know, just really going in and seeing, like, I feel like it's almost like this spider web, you know, it's like, okay, what's that connected to? And where did that go back to? And you slowly see how it all pieces together. So what started you on this path?
So in 2016, I have what I call my tower moment. And that's when the universe really slaps you in the face, because you're so far from your heart center, you know, from what's really aligned with your path. And I was working a large corporation, climbing the corporate ladder, you know, really successful, was applying for a next step, which was a global role, and everything was going really well. And it was in that moment that I got denied very quickly. I received a harsh no in and very harsh no, and it was pretty political. And then in the same day, after receiving that kind of crushing moment, I received a phone call from my mom, and she had told me she had breast cancer. And I remember just standing in the, I worked in a lab as a scientist for 7 years at this corporation, and I just was in complete darkness. You know, the entire darkness took over. And she also had told me that she carried a mutation. It's a BRCA2 mutation, and it ran in our family, and that I would need to get tested. And I just crumbled. I was just, my career, where I thought I was going, and now my health and my mom's health. And it just, I was so lost and engulfed in fear, because I didn't know now where I was going and what to focus on. But in that moment, I also, it was that fight or flight moment, and I chose to fight. I chose that this would not be my reality. And all of a sudden, like, even within that moment, I look back now compared to kind of what we're going through as a collective is, you know, there's a lot of workshops out there on, you know, kind of against fear. And for me, fear is just another vibration. It's just a denser vibration than, say, love. And these dense frequencies are just that. They're just heavy frequencies. But really, fear is what set me free. And it was that jarring moment that made me really look and say, what am I going to do about this? And where do I want to go from here? And I decided to fight. And then all of a sudden, everything shifted. I received a phone call from a recruiter within like days that I wasn't expecting. I ended up taking a new job with a new company. I started on a whole, like, I already was into holistic, a kind of health and wellness, and nothing was working for me. I would try every diet, you know, every plan that was out there by nutritionists, and I would work out 7 days a week, and it was just not working. And I finally got this new career. It was more entrepreneurial, more my style. I was able to put more energy into what would work for me. So now I had this fear that was kind of motivating me, but it was motivating me in a way to really dive deep and try anything to make sure that I didn't have the fate that I saw my grandpa go through. You know, I held his hand when he transitioned, and I don't want to do the same, you know, to see my mom go through that, nor me. So I just decided in that moment that I was not going to accept that fate of, you have a mutation. So I don't even own it. It's a family line, and I've worked to heal that. And I have healed my own DNA, and I'm waiting for it to manifest into the physical reality so that I can show people you can heal your body from the inside out. We are that powerful. So from this passion of mine, which I still got a little off balance, I turned a little bit into a medicinal eater and a workaholic and a workoutaholic. But it still taught me so much around the holistic realm, where I was open to try anything, you name it, like acupuncture, CBD, energy work. It didn't matter. I let go of my scientific side for a minute and said, well, what if this could help me beat this? What if this could help me change my family's history? And it was that kind of opening of my belief systems and maybe being open to trying something that led me down this path that then eventually we were guided to launch this entire business around supporting people on their healing journey from a holistic approach.
Oh my God, that's such a beautiful story. And I think that's the piece a lot of people, when they, you know, hear about other people's successes or what they're doing or, you know, these new ventures, they, you know, that it often comes from this spark of challenge, from this moment, like you said, this like shadow moment of despair. And I love how you said you were the moment. That's a great reference. And to use these, you know, instead of it being this weight, it becomes your propeller. And I love how you turned it around and are still, you know, are still aware of, you know, that doesn't mean that we have it all figured out when we start down that path. There's still going to be little bumps, but I love that. So I'm a big advocate for food is medicine. It certainly changed my life. When you talk to people about the nutrition aspect of things, what would be like the one thing, if people just like one thing that they changed or did differently that would set something in motion? Is there something you would say, you know, if you do nothing else, at least like change this one or be aware of this one?
The one thing that I learned that was the most beneficial to me is love yourself and love your food. That was my number one blockage. I ate so clean. I worked out all the time, but it was because I was eating in fear, of disease, fear of dying. So energetically, my relationship with food was fear-based. So my body rejected anything before it went in my mouth, no matter how nutritious it was. So your mindset and your thoughts and your relationship that you have with food and yourself, like there's so much societal pressures to look a certain way. And, you know, we hold shame or we judge. Like I've judged my cellulite on my thighs since I was a little girl because it's been there. But now I see it and I see my trauma and I know why, that it's just pain and anger that I'm holding. And now instead of judging my body, I listen to it. I ask it what it wants to tell me. And I know that it's going to release when it's ready. And it has slowly morphed and let go, you know, one clearing at a time as I work through my shadow.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's like so heartwarming. So you actually have a workshop coming up in August called Love Yourself, Love Your Food. Tell us a little bit about that. It's a great title, by the way. I was like, oh, that's super, super catchy.
Thank you. Yeah, that was, it's an interesting with the title too. I was, you know, I've been in the pet industry as a food scientist for 10 years. And then over the last like 2 years, I've been going through a massive spiritual awakening and being very divinely guided to go a different path. And this title came to me the day after I finally told my corporate family that I needed to move on, that something big was coming. This was in February of this year. I said, something big is coming. I don't know what's happening, but I need to start transitioning because I need to help people and humanity. And I don't know what's going on. And it was as soon as I kind of really opened that up and ended that cycle that then that morning I received all these downloads from my guides and angels and this Love Yourself, Love Your Food program. And it's with another coach, which we actually met in the corporate world 11 years ago. And she was in the wellness side. So her background is fitness and nutrition and wellness. And then now she's a radiant coach as well. We actually went through the same program together last year. And then all of a sudden now we're doing this Love Yourself, Love Your Food workshop. So it's a 3-month workshop that we're holding space for a small intimate group because there's a power in keeping things very small and intimate and so that everyone has enough time to really focus on their healing. But it's all about nutrition and intuition. And so we share our stories, we'll talk through and really dive into what your relationship is with food. You know, what emotions come up when you think about certain foods? What maybe experiences are they tied to in your past or present? And then what about your relationship with yourself? What do you see when you look in the mirror? What do you feel when you eat certain foods? Are you holding judgment or shame? We'll dive into, you know, the type of eating, the diet. It's all about your journey. Everyone is so different. That's why there's not kind of that one size fits all. There's great information out there, but I always tell people that you know best what your body needs. And it can change. And if we listen to that and tap into what resonates and what feels good from a centered space, we will heal and transform. I've eaten bread for 4 months straight. And my relationship with bread in the past was very fearful because of the sugar and carbs and the BRCA2 mutation. Now I'm eating bread very heavily because it's very grounding and it's easy to digest. So where I'm at on a spiritual level is I'm digesting a lot of energy and I'm working a lot on another level where my physical body just kind of needed a break. And so it's really wanting grounding foods that are easy to digest. I start to eat like high vibrational foods, especially in shadow, like shadow, when my shadow comes in, I'm holding denser energy. And so I tend to want dense food. And so I trust my body and I eat from a centered space with love.
That is so valuable, I think, to understand that it's not the food, it's the relationship with the food. That even if you're, you know, if you're eating broccoli, but the whole time you're like, fuck, I hate this, you know, this stuff, it's not helping you. You might as well eat the like Big Mac or whatever it is you wanted. If you're going to be like, oh yay, and bless this food. And I'm, you know,
exactly.
There's definitely a balance there. So you said many great things that I want to circle back around to. One of them is this idea of being intuitive with your nutrition. Because I think so many people look to see like, what is the thing, you know, what it was Atkins, it was paleo, is keto, is like whatever. And everyone just like jumps on that instead of talking to your, it's like, well, what do I really need? And, you know, and what, so how did you begin that connection of making it more intuitive as opposed to, well, right now, you know, we're not supposed to eat egg yolks again or whatever the latest thing is that's, you know, healthy, so to speak.
Yeah, I, let's see. I think I went to a holistic doctor locally and she asked me if I had done muscle testing. She was actually helping my mom. She was getting thermography. So I choose to do thermography versus MRIs or mammograms because of the BRCA2. And so I was learning about that and she was trying to help my mom with some supplements so that she wouldn't have to take pharmaceuticals that also could have, you know, symptoms to cause cancer, you know, somewhere else. So she was trying to go down this path to heal in a very holistic way. And she taught her how to muscle test, where you basically are listening to your body and you can hold a supplement or food. And you will, for me, I lean very forward if my body wants it. I lean back if my body doesn't want it. If it's a combination of things, I may sway. And then the further forward I go, the more my body really wants it. Same with backwards. So I started kind of trying that out. And it took me a while to really, I'm like, really? Or, you know, my scientific, this was early on where I'm full on scientist. My mom's always been really spiritual. And then I was like polar opposite and had to go prove the world for a while. And so I just started trying it out. And now that's how I eat anything. So I'll be going through the grocery store holding bananas and hold, you know, just different things, or wine. I love wine, right? So I just check to make sure it's aligned with me and it's, you know, I'm going to like it. Sometimes I check to see if I'm going to enjoy the flavor. So it's a fun way to check in with your body and you, because you always know best.
It is, for those of you who aren't familiar with muscle testing, I highly recommend you like hop on Google and you can definitely teach yourself how to do it. It is a really fascinating way to see that, yeah, that like deep on this like intricate gut instinct, like primal, nonverbal place, your body really does know. And if you're paying attention to these little differences, these little signals, it, you know, and the more, I think, like you're saying, like the more you do it, the more you realize, like, you know, as with anything, when it comes to intuition, the more you give it attention and start having that conversation, the more it talks to you, and the, you know, the easier it is to see. So for those of you who are out there, I know we have some folks watching on Facebook and some folks Instagram. Hello, hello, everyone. You can join the conversation. So if you have a story to share or a question to ask, we would love for you to join the conversation. You can call in and join us at 319-527-6205. So feel free to hop on, give us a call, 319-527-6205. We're here talking with Bren Olson, holistic coach and wellness warrior. So let's talk a little bit about two things, which I think are pretty related, which is the shadow side and self-love. Because I feel like both of those things are stuff that if you are anywhere near a new agey, hippie, wellness person, you're going to hear. Like, they're very common sayings, shadow work and self-love. And I remember for me, like, the first time I heard somebody, like, refer to shadow work, it sounded very, like, I don't know, like you're going on this, like, quest to the underworld. And then when I really started doing it, I'm like, it really kind of is. It's this quest through, and I think that's the big piece with shadow work is the going through the stuff that you've avoided in your life. And for me, that's how I really came to self-love. I came to really understand what it meant to love myself on the other side of the things that I had once disassociated from and needed to go in and kind of look at and figure out how to reintegrate them. So tell me about your ideas of what shadow work means and how that relates to self-love.
Yeah. So the shadow is my favorite. I always tell people that I'm your shadow's best friend. So, I can, you know, same with me. It's the shadow is just, it can be dense energy that surfaces, that it's aspects of ourselves that we judge or we deny, or we don't want to integrate. So as we're going through the ascension process and we're, you know, we're raising our vibration and we're focusing on love and light, if you don't integrate your shadow side, then all of a sudden you have addictions or allergies or triggers. And so what it's telling you is that there's an aspect of you that just wants some love and that you have not integrated. And so that means you're not whole. So when it comes to holistic healing, it absolutely means to go into your shadow side, which sometimes it can sound scary to people. But what I've realized is that it's just looking at where I've abandoned myself, where I've judged myself. And it's based on usually experiences that we've had and their belief systems that we then take on as our truths, because maybe, you know, kids are kids. Sometimes they say something, but then we identify with that and it can be harsh. You know, one of my instances was these girls had, we were playing the Little Mermaid and they held me underwater and I was, you know, basically drowning. Now their intent wasn't obviously to drown me, hopefully. But it was very traumatic. And I remember it took me a while to surface even that memory, but then I could see how I didn't feel safe. So then when I didn't feel safe, you can start to have controlling characteristics. And so what the shadow does is when it surfaces, when you're ready to kind of face it and maybe let some of these belief systems go, it will come in the form of physical pain. It will come in the form of emotional kind of uproars where you get triggered from someone, or you may not even have an external experience and all of a sudden you're just carrying anger or fear or anxiety. And it really is just, it's just a dense energy. It's kind of like light or dark. When I look at the shadow, I see it as just energy, and it runs at a lower frequency than the light side of things. And so when you come and you integrate it, it's not about becoming light. It's about becoming centered. And the center is in the heart space. And so if we get too far on one side or the other, light or dark, masculine or feminine, giving versus receiving, you know, heaven versus earth, we start to see certain things in our reality or experience some uncomfortable situations that just show us that we've become off center. And that's all the shadow is saying, hey, you forgot me in your heart. You left me over here and it really wants your attention. And it's interesting because you can see it when, if it's someone that's triggered you, it's a mirror of you. And so what I do when I get triggered is I look at that situation and that person and what maybe characteristics they're displaying and see if I'm judging them. And usually the case is yes. And then if I'm judging myself, like recently it was about organization. I was so frustrated at someone's lack of organization that was a direct reflection of me judging my lack of organization that I don't really allow myself to have. Usually at work, I'm very, very organized. I love to take structures that don't exist and make structures. But as I've launched these businesses, my home life and my other business, like if you see my home office, it's all over the place. And I was seeing it as not organized, but really it was creative. And so I was judging this side of me, thinking that it was not acceptable. And then I was seeing that in someone else. And so when I took the time, that's when I developed my pause method. I took the time and I actually went to the mirror at work and I stood there and I said, okay, you know how to do this. So let's go through and like, what is it around this that's so triggering? And then I realized it was the lack of organization. And then I said, okay, I see you. Yeah, you don't want to let people into your unorganized side because I was judging it. But then it's my creativity. It's the feminine side of me. So my masculine was judging my feminine side. And so I had to bring that back into balance. So for me, that's kind of what the shadow represents. It's just part of us that we forgot to love.
And we do. We need that reminder that all of us, all parts of us are worthy of love. And in that integration, there's just so much ease, I think, because there isn't anything that's kind of creeping up from behind trying to get your attention. It's like you're aware of it all. You're seeing it all. You're willing to acknowledge all of it. I love how you, well, first, I definitely want to talk about your pause method. If you want to share that, I would love to share that with the audience. So we could do that and then we can circle, back around to, you know, this idea of how we mirror each other and something that you mentioned earlier, which is, you know, it's those closest to us that often are like the biggest, like, oh my God, I don't want to look at this. What is he showing it to me? So let's, if you're open to it, talk a little bit more about what is the pause method.
Yeah. So this method I developed not that long ago, because we've had so much dense energy moving through us all and including me, and I am doing the shadow work constantly, like it's my jam. And so I was like, okay, you know, that moment when I went and paused and looked at the mirror, I was like, everything that I was being guided to with where we were at with the energy at the moment was to stop doing and pause for just a moment, long enough to listen to our body, to listen to our emotions, to listen to our mind, and then finally to listen to our soul. What is it really telling us about us? Because that's all that's happening, is it's our own inside, our heart saying, hey, there's something that wants your attention here. And if we stop doing, then we can actually hear what we're trying to tell us. And so I was seeing how we're being given this opportunity right now to shift versus suppress or project our traumas and limiting beliefs. So if we all of a sudden feel uncomfortable or anxiety or anger, and we quickly try to get into this higher vibrational state, you know, we miss the point. We've then suppressed that aspect of us. And then all of a sudden it comes back around and then we project it onto people. And so what we do is we continue a cycle of that dense energy, which is often pain, anger, judgment. So right now, as all of this is surfacing, we're being given the opportunity to shift instead of suppressing and projecting. And the way that we shift is to pause for just a moment and then listen. And so I came up with a method where we work through each letter of the word pause, and we reflect on that instance, and we go through and we look at, okay, you know, the P is perspective. What perspective am I looking through right now? Like, what's my perspective? What's their perspective? What storyline is playing in my mind right now? What narrative? And then like writing all that out. And a lot of times people, when it comes to the mind and the ego, like some of these workshops, it's like, you can't even let it out. Like, you're like, oh, that's just ego. But for what I'm finding when it comes to letting these things move through and transmute, is you have to let the ego speak. So what I do is I go through and I write the whole narrative out. no matter how, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, I know this isn't true, but I'm going to let it, you've got to let it out. And that actually starts the transmutation process of the energy. It's alchemy. And so by getting it out there, then you can say, okay, I hear you, ego. I hear you, mind. I see it. And then now the A is to do assessment, right? That's all, that's the awareness side of it. So it's a self-assessment step where you look and say, okay, where am I judging? Am I judging someone? Am I judging myself? Is there a fear that I'm holding? Am I holding myself back because of a fear? Is there a version of me I'm suppressing? And you work through that self-assessment step to really look at a different perspective and say, okay, what is the truth behind this? And once you kind of go through that, you start to see what you're really trying to tell you, right? And so then you get into the you, which is unconditional love. So then once you've kind of been in the mind and you've seen what it's telling you, and then you can shift and say, thank you, mind. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. Thank you for playing out this narrative that I know is not true anymore. And you can shift back down to the heart space. And then you can look at that same situation with unconditional love and say, how would this play out with unconditional love? You know, that's the point I got to when I said, oh, it's not like that I'm unorganized. It's that I'm creative. Like, that's okay. I love being creative. So you look at that unconditional love instead of that lens of fear or anger or judgment. So once you can get to that space, kind of back to the heart, you've got a different perspective. You see through what maybe the narrative is that was playing in your mind. That's when you can start reprogramming some of those limiting beliefs and change your storyline. So then comes the S, which is shifting. So this is the opportunity to truly shift your energy. Like, shift from that narrative and pick a new narrative and really dive through and you know, what are you grateful for that was just shown to you? And then how can you shift into a new truth? You know, I'm not unorganized. I'm just really creative. And you can also kind of sit there and say, this is a new practice that I love to look at both sides of me and say, sometimes I'm really organized. And sometimes I'm really creative and I love all of it. And so you start to integrate those two aspects of you into that centered space. And then the last step that I really like is expand. And so when you go through and you take this opportunity to expand, this is saying, what am I going to do with this information now that I know I have it? What step can I take? Like one step further. Sometimes it's for me, it's working with the Hawaiian prayer, Ho'oponopono, where I take that time to mend a relationship, to say, thank you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. Or sometimes I go straight to the person. You know, I take that opportunity to go straight up to that person that triggered me and say that same thing. I say, thank you, you have no idea what you just showed me. And then it opens a great, beautiful conversation where they're like, oh, well, I didn't realize that. Tell me more. And then they start to transmute in like energy. So it's really a cool process. And I've started walking through people through this process around the full moon, because the full moon energy really is about releasing and letting go. And so sometimes a lot of triggers come up around there so that we can choose to let them go. So I've started holding space for groups of three so that we have enough time to really talk through their situation and see if we can identify what storyline they're playing and see about shifting that into the heart space and really making that step to change those programming and choosing a new narrative going forward.
Oh my God, such good stuff. I love it. I'm a big fan of acronyms. It's one of my favorite things. So I love when people come up with, because they're so good. Like, you know, that's really, I love the breaking it down and into expansion, which I think is the ultimate, you know, whatever you're doing is to move through it in a way that you expand and kind of connect even more, I think, not only to yourself, but to everyone around you. I love the way you talk about energy as having this kind of weight and like levity to it. Do you feel like when you do work, are you someone who like you like see energy or colors? Is it more like you were talking about, like spirit, you know, kind of like these downloads? Do you have a particular way that you feel like you get these messages more so than in other ways? Because I feel like we all have, you know, our superpower of like how things come to us and how we translate it. And so I'm just curious kind of what your process is there.
Yeah. So that's, I'm always learning too, because the more I clear a lot of this dense energy and limiting beliefs and traumas, the more my gifts come back. And I've started to be able to see auras and energy. Even I remember the first time I started seeing it on a YouTube channel, I was like, this person's glowing green. And I'm like, can I screenshot this? Like, can someone else see this? And so I call my mom, because she's very intuitive. We come from a long line of intuitives, and she's always done energy readings, and they're kind of like aura drawings. And I called her up and I was like, is this what happens? And she's like, well, I don't actually see them. I just perceive them. Like, hers is more of a knowing. And I'm like, the whole time I thought she could see colors. And then here I am seeing colors. And, so yeah, I can see them around people. It really just depends. It's not all the time. And what I found is when it really shows up, it's wanting my attention. So it may be telling me something about that person. Maybe they're a lot of times, if someone's really starting to speak their truth, I start to see blue around their head and throat chakra, and they're really tapped into their truth. So I've just been kind of watching it evolve and seeing what happens. More recently, I've found that I feel like today I felt the light codes come in. So part of the ascension process is also that we receive these high frequency light codes, you know, from God, the universe, the sun, whatever resonates. And these are coming in, helping us with this process. So when they come in, my whole body is just vibrating. Like, I'm just like lit up and I've got goosebumps everywhere. And so I've started to notice them whenever I'm really sensitive. So if they're coming in, my whole body will be vibrating. And then usually after that is either emotional movement for me or migraines, or, you know, as the energy integrates, because it really is, everything is just energy. And once I stripped it down to that simplicity, it all started making sense. So same with like the shadow and some of the trauma, the anger, the fear. If you look at it as just energy, there's no right or wrong. It's just heavy or light, dense or high vibration. And when something else I've noticed is when I'm communicating with someone and they've really hit on a trauma or a dense energy that wants to start moving, and through conversation, I'll even start crying as part of a release. So I've found that, and I'm still kind of learning this, is that there's like, I'm performing alchemy. And when even just with conversations, we're together moving energy. And so I'll just start crying. And then they kind of look at me like, are you okay? Cause they're talking. And I'm like, oh yep, I'm fine. Like this, we're just moving energy. And I'm a conduit. I'm holding space to help you find those and start to transmute those into lighter frequencies. So it's been very, very interesting journey the past couple years. And, you know, I was a scientist. I mean, very masculine energy, analytical, prove the world. None of this woo-woo spiritual stuff like was even on my radar. And then here I am 2 years later, like seeing auras, you know, getting telepathic messages. I get visions. I do a lot of dream work, I actually had before all of this happened, I didn't realize it until after the virus came in, that I actually had a dream about this last summer. And I didn't understand it until after it happened. And I was like, wow, I had a dream about all of this coming. Yeah. And so I pay very close attention to my dreams. Yeah. They are either guiding me or giving me indications of something that might be coming for the collective.
What a wild ride that has been for you. And I love the way you really married it all together, the intuitive and the scientific, because again, it is, it's all energy and we need all of it. And the more tools that we have, the more fun I think we can have navigating these things as they come up. I'm a Pisces, so I do a lot of dream work too. I write my, I'll actually get up like, and find stuff that I've written in the middle of the night when I'm like half asleep and I barely remember, because I'm like, God, whatever it was in the dream, I'm like, and I'm trying to decipher what did I scribble down. Like, what was that?
Oh, that's awesome.
So we have a few minutes left. I want to be sure everyone has all the ways in which to reach you. So we'll be sure to put all that in the links. But real quick, do you want to just shout out your website and all that good stuff?
Yeah. So our website is alter-native.shop. And you can also find us on Instagram, alter-native official. And then my Instagram handle is @Bren_Olson. And I'm also on Facebook. So I think that's pretty much everywhere. You can also come see us if you're in the local area. We're at the Franklin Farmers Market every Saturday, and I love to be there and just have communications with anybody that is looking for support on their holistic journey, whatever that may be. I'm always there to hold space.
I love that. That's so beautiful. So I am starting a new thing, because I always loved in the Inside Actor Studio when he would do like all those questions. So I only have 3 questions. and they are, how do you start your day? How do you end your day? And because this is intimacy architecture, what is your favorite thing about sex?
So I start my day always very intuitively. So I guess as I'm starting to wake up, I process all my dream work. And then I start to slowly wake up and ask myself, what is going to bring me the most joy and pleasure in this next moment? So I always start my day choosing me first, so that I fill up my cup before I go serve others. So number one. Number two, how do I end my day? I am so lucky that normally I end my day in a meditative state with my husband playing his guitar intuitively, and I just like drift off straight into dream work. Sometimes it's pretty intense, and so I love that I get to end my day listening to his passion come out in music. So that's pretty fun. And my favorite thing about sex is, you know, that's a big one for me because it is my biggest area of healing right now. And what I think I love the most is the opportunity to explore what it really does mean to love me, to pick me, to choose my pleasure as my priority. And so it's still a journey for me. And again, lucky to have a husband that meets me where I'm at and knows I have trauma and loves me anyway without any expectation. So for me, sex is my opportunity to, my biggest opportunity to love myself again right now. And so I think that's what I love about it, is it's going to really set me free.
That is so beautiful. I absolutely love that. I think one of the things I love most about your story is it's such a testament to following your passion and just really trusting that feeling of joy and that thing that, you know, like you said, you're getting goosebumps. It's like lighting you up. You're getting these like physical, energetic, emotional responses that are leading you. And when we listen to those, we really end up in the right place at the right time. And the universe just like starts handing you things. It's like, yeah, here you go. Here you go. Like, here's all the resources, every connection, whatever it is you need. It just really starts showing up when you show up and follow that passion. And so, you know, thank you so much for sharing your story. I think it's so important for people out there to know that, you know, it's, we're here to do that. Like, we really are here to follow our joy, and in doing so, our needs are met because we're really showing up to be of service in the way, you know, that is in alignment for the highest good of all. And so thank you for sharing your beautiful adventures. And again, be sure to have all the info in the links. The Love Yourself, Love Your Food workshop is coming up in August. That sounds amazing. I may actually jump on that. Get myself
Yay!
In there. 'Cause I, awesome. Yeah. I have such a thing with sugar. It is like, it has been my Achilles heel for the longest time. So definitely one of my shadow things that it's probably a good time to dive into. And it sounds like it would be a great place to do some of that work. So yeah, we are just about to wrap up here. If you want to call, you got a couple minutes left, 319-527-6205. We're here with Brent Olson. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I really appreciate it. It has been an absolute pleasure talking with you. And I hope to get to actually see you soon in person. I realized we have more mutual friends than I thought. Someone was telling me about a birthday party, and they're like, oh, Brent was there. And I was like, oh, like I didn't realize you guys all know each other.
Yeah, the connections, the group just keeps getting more and more connected. And every time I go to an event, it's just, I love it. So, and thank you so much. Like, you've been an inspiration to see how you live your life. And that's how I'm like working toward, you know, living in the moment, knowing that you're fully supported. You know, when your shadow comes in, you can paint a room if you want. I just love that you were able to do that, and that's where I'm headed. And I just, by seeing you, I know that I can have faith and I can trust and that I will be supported because I'm living from my heart space here to serve others. So thank you for that.
Oh, it is my pleasure. You know, and that's the thing with mirrors, like mirrors that we see in other people aren't always stuff that you're like, oh shit, I'm judging that and I gotta fix it. Sometimes it's like, oh my God, you're fucking awesome and I'm awesome.
Exactly.
We're awesome together and we're making the world a better place. Yay.
Yes, exactly. I love that you brought that up because that is very true. And I always tell my friends and clients that if you see someone that you really aspire to be like it's you showing you that it's already in you. Like that is you and you've got all of that. So I love that. So I'm looking forward to painting my room creatively very soon when I need to.
I love it. Absolutely. Yeah. It was so much fun. And I, you know, I do, I think it's important to share these moments with people that, you know, because especially in a social media world, you see a lot of like, oh, here's a cute picture of me on a lake with a dog, whatever. Like, it's all like, yay. But it's, no, I have my shit too. Like, that's why I'm here. I've also figured out how to navigate through the trenches and it's beautiful. So thank you again for joining us. This has been Sexual Inclusion Network. I'm Christiane Bella. Our guest tonight has been Brent Olson. And we will catch you again next week. We will be here on Thursday night with our guest Luna, who is a performance artist, talking about queer life here in Nashville and performance art and what is to come of the world. If performance art, we will see. So thank you again, Brent. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. I love you so much. Thank you for being here. Intimacy Architecture, build a life you love. Catch you next week.